I just want to share shortly before the baptism service, and I'm not even going to ask you to stand again. We've been standing for quite a while, but if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8 this evening, we want to look at God's Word for just a few moments here before we enter the waters of baptism. I want to tell you, I know you're excited from reading the Bible through this year. I've heard you talk, but I want you to know there's some exciting things in the Bible. God's not a distant God. He gets right involved in the affairs of men. Acts chapter 8, I'm going to read you the story in lieu of telling it and just make a few observations before we have the baptism. But in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Rise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, and read from Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said," that's where we're at right now. We just want to do what the Spirit says. "The Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." That's still what the world needs to hear preached. Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah. What did you just say? Jesus. Jesus. Preached unto him Jesus. "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hindereth me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Hallelujah. "But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." I want you to look at a question this eunuch asked in verse 36. "As they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hindereth me to be baptized?" I want just briefly tonight ask the question, what keeps you from it? Not just baptism, but just doing the will of God and enjoying the life of God in your heart and your existence. I believe the eunuch asked a great question. What hinders me to be baptized? Years ago, we had a man come in, and as far as I was concerned, he was gloriously saved. We had several saved during that time, 9 or 10, and so like tonight, I scheduled a baptism service. I asked for those that would like to be baptized to come to me, and this man didn't come, and so I talked with him, and I said, well, I believe, you know, you've told me how the Lord has come into your life, and your life has changed, and this is for you. Baptism's for you. And he talked to me a little bit about it, and he said, well, I think I'm going to put that off. I don't think that I'm ready for water baptism. I don't think it's really necessary, that it really takes that for me to serve God. And I remember talking with him a little bit, and then I had this response to him. I said, you know, the thing, I believe this, the thing that will keep you from being baptized will be the very thing that will keep you from living for God and staying in this way and making it. And he shook his head as if he didn't believe that, but it's true. I didn't know what it was. I didn't press the issue. I didn't quiz him about it. I don't know what it was that hindered him from being baptized in water. But I do believe the very thing that kept him from being baptized in water was the very thing that kept him from going on with God and making it. I'm telling you, the way I feel, we shouldn't let anything hinder us from the work of God, the plan of God that he wants to do in our life. I don't believe in this service you should have let anything hinder you from moving with the Spirit and worshiping as God was prompting your heart and doing his will. Amen. What doth hindereth me to be baptized? I believe he asked this question. He asked it in the positive sense. Why can't I? In other words, he wasn't asking, why do I have to be baptized? He saw the water and said, there's the water. Why can't I just go ahead and be baptized, preacher? Just do it right here and right now. Why can't I be baptized? I think he asked the question because he liked and accepted the message that he was hearing. I mean, he had been reading the Word of God. I just read the story. He didn't understand it. It wasn't coincidence. This Ethiopian had been as a proselyte Jew. He was a Gentile, but a proselyte to the Jewish faith. He had been to Jerusalem to worship, and he had bought some scrolls. He had to be rich because only the extreme wealthy could purchase scrolls. And but it was not coincident that one of the scrolls that he purchased in Jerusalem was the prophet Isaiah. And it was not by coincidence that where he was reading was Isaiah 53 that told about how Christ came and suffered and bore our sins. And it was not by accident, but by the Holy Spirit's moving, that Philip left the great revival and went way out there, down there in the back roads of Palestine, time in the desert. It was not by accident, but by the Spirit that Philip went and ran alongside the chariot and listened a while and said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, how can I except someone tell me, come up and sit beside me? And he was reading about the Christ, and he said to Philip, what's this all about? And Philip said, oh, that's the sin bearer, hallelujah, that's the suffering servant, that's the Savior of mankind. He's come to bear the sins of men, and he just has done that in Jerusalem. He bore the sins all the way to the cross. They killed him. People turned their faces not to look upon him and not to see the sight. But oh, you got to know that he rose from the dead. He ascended to the Father. He's poured out the Holy Ghost. And you may be an Ethiopian, but whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And right there in the chariot, that eunuch liked what he heard. He accepted the message, and it changed his life. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Don't you like the message too? Philip preached Jesus, and Jesus, the message of Jesus, changed that eunuch's life. Brother Steve, he asked, why can't I be baptized? Because he believed, he liked what he heard in the message. I like what I hear in the message too. I think secondly, he asked with excitement, why can't I be baptized? Because he was really a changed man. I don't know how many revolutions of the chariot wheels it took, but somewhere in the reading and somewhere in the preaching, a man's heart was changed by the gospel of Christ. He wasn't the same man that left Ethiopia. He wasn't even the same man that left Jerusalem. He wasn't the same man that started through the desert. Somewhere he became a changed individual. Amen. This thing of Christ is not a band-aid. It's not just an emotional time to express and get some emotions out. I'm telling you, when you come to Christ, when you accept the message,
He changes your life. If any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. And somehow that eunuch understood that my old life is gone. I've got a new life to live, and I want water baptism to show it, just like you told me it would, Philip. One of the reasons I know he was changed, the Bible says that he took care of the money for Ethiopia under Candace the queen. You've got to understand this. This would be the equivalent to our Secretary of Treasury, a cabinet member, and even more powerful in that this was a monarchy. I mean, he was one of the most powerful, wealthiest individuals in all of Ethiopia. And I know there's not many wise and there's not many wealthy, but there are some that'll accept the gospel of Christ. And here he is, a man of stature. No doubt he had his government robes on. Everything about his chariot, his horses, everything said this is an important man. He's going down the road. There's this little watering hole in the middle of the desert, and he's asking the man of God, take me out there and dunk me into that water. A man of dignity. I'm telling you, something had to be changed for a man of that position to all of a sudden to be humble enough to humble himself enough to say, I want to be back. I'm telling you, when you really meet the Lord, you get a humble heart. I'm telling you, pride is gone. Self-will is gone. All you want to do is obey the Lord. Amen. And so I believe he genuinely, amen, was a changed person. He wanted to be baptized. I believe another reason he said, why can't I be baptized? It's because he was excited and eager to experience all God had for him. Did you know if you really get saved, nobody has to try to talk you into spiritual activities? I believe you really get saved, folks won't have to beg you to come to church. If you really get saved, someone up front won't have to beg you to stand and lift your hands and worship God. I believe if you really get saved, you'll be like this eunuch. You just want to experience everything that God has for you. And Philip had begun to talk about accepting Christ, but somewhere in there he had to tell him about water baptism. Amen. And that eunuch said, is that what's next? Yeah, that's what you need to do. All right, I want to do it. Amen. Forgive my dignity. Forgive my position of government. I want what God has for my life. Well, glory to God. And so he was excited and sought out, amen, water baptism. When you really get saved, no one will have to coerce and coach you and try to finagle you into water baptism. You'll just say, is it what the Lord desires? All right, I'm in. I want it. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We could talk about other things, but I want to turn it in another direction. If you're here and you're not a believer, I want to ask you, what hinders you from giving your heart and life to God? And you will soon, if you'll be honest, realize the thing that hinders you is not something that's worth keeping you from the glorious blessings of salvation and eternal life and a home in heaven. And if you're here and you're saved and you've never followed the Lord in water baptism, I want to ask tonight, what hinders you from water baptism? Amen. Amen. I begin to think, and I'm just going to quickly give some general categories of possibility. What would hinder someone from water baptism? Well, I think, first of all, maybe they never really got saved. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just looking at the testimony of Scripture. And I believe if you really got a changed life, you're willing to do what the Lord asks. When people really get saved, they want to do the saved life. Maybe there's not understanding there. I'll always keep that as a reservation. Maybe some people haven't understood about water baptism. I'm not going to get into theology tonight, but sometimes people don't understand. I was talking to the candidates, and as far as the specific form of our worship, Jesus only asked two things: communion, this do in remembrance of me, and water baptism. Those are the only two specifics. And
did you know when we are baptized, we are simply obeying the Lord. We're simply pleasing Him, doing something He has asked of us. I'm not going to all the reasons I did with the candidate, but just in short, water baptism says, I'm now a part of Christ. My old life has passed away, and I have been raised again in the newness of life to live a new life as a new person. Hallelujah. My life is wrapped up in Jesus. By water baptism, I'm showing that He's going to be my Lord, and I'm going to be His servant. He's going to be the teacher. I'm going to be the student. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Maybe folks hasn't understood. Acts 2:38. Peter summarized it and said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, or because of the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Right there in a nutshell is the plan of God. Get saved. Repent to be saved. When you've repented and you're saved, be baptized in the name of Jesus to show that that's happened. And then don't stop there. Just move on and believe God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Amen. It can even happen in water, baptismal waters. Amen. That people have come up out of the waters of baptism speaking in other tongues. Glory to God. I'm not preaching false doctrine. I'm preaching the Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's got so much for us. Why wouldn't you want to be baptized in water? Why wouldn't you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? Why wouldn't you want to walk this way of holiness before God and know His perfect plan and will for your life? But maybe some folks are hindered in water baptism because they do understand. They do understand that that's a public statement of their commitment to the Lord Jesus, and they don't want to make that level of commitment. I think folks like that have never really understood what's at stake. It's not just being a part of the church, a church. This is all about eternity. This is all about an eternal soul spending eternity in the presence of God or in the place of suffering. You know, there's some people, in a sense, they like salvation. They like that forgiveness part, you know, that weight of guilt being taken away. They even like that good emotional feel of the love of Jesus and the presence. And they sure like that heaven part, because nobody likes to think about suffering. But that part about take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me, they don't like that part. And somehow some folks do understand that water baptism is a commitment to follow Christ and all that He asks. I don't know what would hinder a person. It has not hindered these candidates tonight. These candidates have concluded that they're going to make a statement tonight that their life is hid with Christ and God, and they're going to commit their lives to living for Christ in the newness of life. Music, would you begin to come in a minute? Brother Steve's going to lead you congregation in some songs. We got a testimony too, and the candidates will get ready in just a minute. But let me share this before we change the order of the service. I believe in water baptism by immersion. I just had the candidates do this, and I want you to do it for me tonight, if you will. I want you to say after me the word baptize. Would you say it? Baptize. Look at your neighbor and said, you just spoke Greek. That word was never translated from Greek to English. And one reason is there was some controversy in the church, and some folks would get upset because the word baptized literally means to put underwater, to immerse. So every time you read the word baptized, it means immersed. Did you notice what, stay right with me here, did you notice what the eunuch said? He said, look over there, there is water. It was a stream or a watering hole. What does hindereth me to be baptized? If all it took was to be sprinkled with water, don't you think that eunuch would have had drinking water with him for the journey? Don't you think somebody would have had a canteen if you're going through the desert? But it took more than sprinkle. So he said, there's water. And did you notice what the Bible said? They went into the water, and as they came up out of the water. You don't need to wade out in the water for sprinkles. I believe in baptism by immersion. You know what it said of John the Baptist? It said John the Baptist was baptizing in Anon near to Salim because there was much water there. You don't need much water to sprinkle. Amen? So you know what your pastor believes on that, right? We got a tank back here. I think Sister Brock already knows where I'm headed. But we had a lady that got saved in the nursing home. And her physical condition was as such the doctor said she cannot be immersed in water. It'll hurt her bad or even take her life or whatever. She just can't be. And she just about begged us to baptize her. We did, didn't we? We took a pitcher of water and she sat in the nursing home in the wheelchair. And I believe in immersion. I don't believe in sprinkling or pouring from a pitcher. But I baptized her in the name of the Father and the Son and poured the water on her head. He said, didn't you break what you believe? No, sir. Because it was in her desire. It was her desire. I want to be. And you know why she had that desire? Because Jesus had saved her. And I want to tell you, I told that illustration not to bring up an argument about baptism, but to let you know I really believe this salvation thing is in our desire. What does hinder? Nothing should hinder us from eternal salvation and knowing this Savior. Amen. Candidates, you can go get prepared. Let's worship the Lord as Brother Steve comes. Could you worship him? Amen. Could you thank him? Hallelujah. If you're here and you don't know Christ, amen, you can come to these altars in a bit. Give your life to him.